Well, that was a fun Thanksgiving break.
It was cozy.
It was. So much family. So much fun.
So much food.
So much not podcasting. Whoopsies.
No whoopsies. We need breaks too. It's okay.
I suppose so.
Yeah, we needed to cuddle our kittens. It was fine.
Yeah. God gives the kittens Thanksgiving cuddles.
Yeah, and honestly, we hadn't had enough time to even talk about what we were playing or watching because we didn't have time to play or watch anything.
Yeah, the prep time for last week just wasn't happening. So we were like, let's not. But that means that this week is extra zesty.
Zesty, spicy.
Zesty and spicy. And to start out, the zestiest and the spiciest news of the week.
Oh, heck yeah. Fruits Basket shared some first looks at character designs.
Which, like, weird. Not what I was expecting.
It makes sense. I mean, I'm in marketing. No.
Well, not that, like, the sharing of the character designs didn't make sense, but the character designs themselves didn't make sense.
How?
She looks so little.
Oh, you mean like that? Interesting.
Like, am I crazy? That she looks really young in that photo. Like her hair especially.
Her hair? Oh, like how long it is and stuff?
Yeah, how long it is. And like, I almost feel like the fanning out on the sides is just like very like young. So I'm like trying to figure out because he just looks like a dude, you know? Like, he could be Hattori's brother.
Like a bro.
He looks like a bro, Katsuya. But, like, he looks like Hattori's age. Obviously, this, I assume this is a flashback. So, he probably wouldn't be. But, so do we, like, get to see Kyoko, like, moving through life up until the point that she meets him? Like, how she got in the gang? Like, all that kind of stuff. And then how he, like, pulled her out? Like,
yes, let me spoil it for you.
Well, all right. I mean, so, no, I'm so curious.
I'm kidding. Well, you'll just have to like wait and see, I guess. It's coming out, I believe, in February, question mark?
That's soon.
Yeah. I know they're doing, February 18th. It's going to be released in theaters in Japan. I imagine that they're going to do something in America. They haven't announced it yet.
Yeah.
COVID willing. I don't know. But yeah, you'll have to wait and see. Or you could go over to the manga shelf and you could read it right now.
See, I could do that. But as I was about 4 episodes ago, I'm still on volume 3.
Goody!
Slowly but steadily working through it like a page at a time.
Love that.
I mean, it's difficult. Because I know what's happening.
Yeah, it'll get easier later.
And I have watched the first season, what we've watched, especially those opening episodes, like several times.
So many times.
So many times.
Yeah.
That it's such well-trodden ground and they align so definitively right now. You know what? We're working through it. We'll get to it. I feel like I still need to read every page just to say that I have. So it's like a pride thing that I'm not skipping forward to the new content. But
one day. We'll get you on winter break.
Hopefully.
Honestly, we'll do that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We have a lot of games.
I mean, you're right. But, like, there's always that downtime after Christmas, after we open presents.
Yeah.
Where we're just kind of sitting there. You could read some Fruits Basket then.
Or I could play Switch.
I mean, you're right. This is our issue. But this movie OVA situation, it'll be extra special because there's going to be an exclusive epilogue that's narrated by Kyo. And it's about his life with Toru following the end of the series. And I'm so excited to see this.
Thank God. Because all we got at the end of the series is they're happy. They have kids and grandkids, it appears. Aw, yay. Go them. Nope. And, like, not to say that that moment wasn't perfect, because it totally was. I don't want to dismiss that in any way. But I want to know more. I want the details. We didn't even get to see them date, really.
I mean, we got to see them date a little bit.
Just a smidgen.
More than you thought we would.
I wanted, like, Horimiya levels of dating.
Oh.
Yeah. Three seasons of pining doesn't do it for me.
I'm sorry. At least we didn't end on a kiss, though. That's usually how it goes.
That's true. We're one episode short of ending on a kiss.
Okay, well...
One episode short. I love the series. I love it. I just need, you know...
You need this epilogue.
I need this epilogue. And I need to be like, where do they go to dates? Do they go get ice cream? Do they go get, you know, like, I want to see a mochi date, you know?
Mm-hmm.
With Machi and Yuki.
Mochi date?
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe we'll see it.
Throwing Kakeru and his girlfriend in is perfect.
Oh, well, you just want Kakeru's girlfriend. Okay, this is where we go. It always ends up back here.
But yeah, so I'm very excited by that news.
Heck yeah, and it'll be right after Valentine's Day, assuming we get it at the same time as Japan.
Yeah.
There you go.
Boom.
Romance.
Ah, romance. And spoiler alert for Fruits Basket, if you haven't watched it. 3, 2, 1. I would imagine we'll see death, too.
Okay.
I imagine we'll see Katsuya die. And the fallout of that.
Well.
That would make sense.
That would be a logical thing to show.
Here's my guess.
Okay.
We see Kyoko's childhood.
Okay.
Up until she meets Katsuya. They meet, they start dating, they fall in love. It's great. They have Toru. It goes through all those happy moments, right?
Lots of happiness.
Lots of happiness, lots of joy, lots of Katsuya's family just being like, and
just light gagging noises.
Yeah. And how he's helped her, and he's great, and that's what I'm assuming. And then, boom, death. And the fallout.
Oh, so you think his death is sudden and, like, out of nowhere?
No, I feel like I think he was sick for a while. But, like, it'll still, like, hit, you know?
A punch in the gut.
I mean, if it's one movie, it'll be sudden for us, but, like, it could take place
over. It'll be very sudden for me.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting anything of that sort.
Well, neither am I. I haven't read these chapters. Maybe he doesn't die.
Oh my god!
What if he just ran out on them?
call them and tell them I got a fever.
There was no body.
Oh.
We didn't see the body.
No body, no crime.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We've just seen the faceless portrait many a times until it did have a face.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
So that was our Fruits Basket pod. Oh, we haven't even introduced the podcast yet.
Yeah, where are we? Who are we?
Welcome to ThoughtCast, the video game and anime podcast. My name's John.
And I'm Allie.
And if you are not familiar with the podcast, we talk all about video games and anime like Fruits Basket, like we've been doing for the past 8-9 minutes or so.
Yeah.
I mean, the intro's a little late, but at least it happened.
Who needs intros? They're boring.
Yeah, you know. Since we're talking about Fruits Basket.
Yes.
A question that I think about a lot, because do you have any, like, games or anime that you didn't think that you would like, but you ended up loving? Because for me, Fruits Basket is one of those things.
Oof. Okay, let's discuss that while I think of some. Okay.
Because, okay, I remember you were in college. I think I had graduated at this point when you showed me Fruits Basket. We were just kind of hanging out in your room with your roommate, and it was the first episode of the new Fruits Basket series. It had just released, or maybe it was the second episode. Somewhere in there.
Okay, I obviously have better memory than you.
Okay.
So first of all, when they announced that Fruits Basket was coming back, and they had like a little teaser trailer or something, or it was just an article on Funimation's blog or something. I forget how they announced the news.
Yeah.
But when the news was released, I immediately freaked out and said, John, please watch this with me. Even if it's something that you know you won't like, please. It's just, I need you to watch this with me because it is very important to me in my childhood. And I grew up with this. And I just need you to see it so you can understand some of my little quirks better.
Yeah.
Because, like, I grew up with Toru as a role model. And I really related to a lot of the characters. I used some of their speech. Like, I was deep in it. So I was like, you will understand me better if we watch Fruits Basket.
Yeah.
You have to watch this with me.
Which ended up being true.
Yes.
You were right.
I was right. And so I showed you this news and you were like, okay, sure, I'll watch it because you're very passionate about this. And like, I am a good boyfriend, so therefore I will watch it.
Yeah.
And then once the first episode came out, on the air date, like on the day that it came out, we watched it together with my roommate, Hannah.
Yeah.
And we all watched it together.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, this is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was very fascinated by Yuki's rat powers in that first episode.
Yeah.
Never happened again.
No.
But, like, that was the only thing that stood out to me. And I will say, you guys had a little bit of Yuki slander in that first episode.
Okay, listen.
And that very much, I think, colored my perception of the series immediately as being defiant. Like, you know what? I'm gonna like Yuki then.
Yeah.
Which I think you both have gone back on that opinion.
Yes.
But yeah. Like, I think you said that it was colored by the original series and like whatever. Either way, I remember watching that first episode and being like, this is fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a Naruto or anything.
Oh, it's not Naruto. Oh.
The pinnacle of anime.
Now that I have seen Naruto, I'm insulted that that's even what you thought.
And look, Naruto's great.
Yay. I'm just staring at you blankly.
In moderation. I don't consume it in moderation.
No, you don't.
I binge it.
It's really unhealthy. There's an unhealthy amount of Naruto in our apartment and I need saved.
But yeah, so I was not convinced because I never watched a shoujo before. Not really.
Oh, true. It was your first shoujo.
So all in terms of anime, all I was familiar with was really intense shonen.
Yeah. Oh, and you typically, when we would watch movies and things, like we watched Your Name together.
Yeah.
You, for whatever reason, if someone says to you, by the way, this movie is sad and it will make you cry.
Yeah.
Then you immediately get turned off on it. You're like, I don't want to watch it then. Or like the pressure to cry is yes. So great for you that you can't even enjoy it because you're just thinking about
like,
how
when
you
am I gonna
should
cry?
Be crying.
Yeah. And like what is everyone else doing and what should I be doing? Because I don't think I cried during Your Name like at all.
No, you didn't.
Like I didn't. Cry during Your Name. I didn't cry during what's that other movie? The Silent Voice.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't cry for any of those because they were phenomenal. Like, don't get me wrong. I did enjoy them. But the...
I got you during Wolf Children, though.
I did cry during Wolf Children. But, like, that was just us.
Yeah.
And, like, you didn't set it up. Like, you're gonna bawl your eyes.
Yes, I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I have terrible memory. But... looping back to Fruits Basket, I was actively anticipating not enjoying it. And I just kind of went through the motions of it for, I'd say, the first 5-6 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Until I actually started getting invested in the show.
Yeah, you started to get invested, but you were the kind of invested where... We watched it every single week, but you kept forgetting things. And,
yeah.
Like, you weren't retaining very much.
Yeah, because I was passively watching it instead of actively watching it.
Yeah, and so then when we got a couple episodes deep into season 2,
yes.
That's when I was like, okay, he's not retaining this. And I also think this would be really good content for our YouTube channel. So, therefore, let's do a podcast because then you'll pay attention and, like, have to retain this.
But, okay, you're not giving me enough credit there. Because at that point, I liked it enough that I would say yes to a podcast about it.
I mean, yes, but I needed you to pay more attention.
So
Fruits Basket deserves it.
The podcast was just a ploy.
It was a ploy to make you pay attention the whole time. Because I knew that you'd be able to theorize about it. And yeah. You wouldn't theorize with me.
That's true.
When we first started watching Fruits Basket, you didn't even like theorizing. You thought it was a pointless activity. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
I got you into theorizing.
I actively, for the longest time, and maybe that's why I didn't like a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about. We're lingering on Fruits Basket a lot. But like...
As we should.
True. We did. But we've also talked about it for dozens of hours. That said, I did not like theorizing. I hated theorizing at that time. Like, you know, small little things about like games. Like, ooh, what if this happened? Or like, ooh, what if that happened? But not like... connecting major story threads.
Yeah.
At the time. Like, I remember you always wanted me to theorize about Game of Thrones, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, no, thank you.
Yep.
I'm better about that now.
Much better. Much better.
Because I do see the enjoyment in it now. I did not see the point before.
We got him. We got them, boys.
But once we did start the podcast is when I was fully bought in, which I think that's funny that in those first couple episodes, I wasn't even like fully bought into the series yet.
Yeah.
Like, I just was like, yeah, I like this show. Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious.
I got you. I got you so good.
But... have you thought of any that you were not initially bought into?
Actually, yes. Okay. So, another topic that is big on our channel is Psychonauts. Mm. And I did not think that I would like Psychonauts. Very understandably, I feel, because the first game, I love and respect their art direction decisions. I really do. I understand them. However, they're...
Gross to me. It's gross.
It's just a very grotesque looking game. And I think they do that on purpose, but it's not pleasing to my eyes. It's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a scent that you would pass by, like if someone didn't really like strong vanilla perfume. Mm-hmm. Like there are people who like strong vanilla perfume. But if you don't like it, then you're not going to like the perfume no matter how good it is.
Mm.
The best perfume ever. The best game ever. They came up with a beautiful style that really represents the game. I just don't like it.
Yeah, I will say that that was almost a deterrent for Psychonauts for me, too.
Mm-hmm.
Is just that weird art style.
Yeah.
It didn't hold me back from it for very long.
Yeah.
But... It is hard to look at in some places, and not because it looks bad, but just because it is, like, some of the character designs are pointedly ugly.
Yeah.
Some aren't, and, like, they're beautiful, absolutely. A lot of the mental worlds are gorgeous.
Yes.
But just the almost kind of grimy character designs of a lot of them, and, like, weirdly proportioned and...
Yeah, and I just didn't like a lot of their attitudes. I didn't I don't like games or really anything where the characters are constantly badgering or making fun of you or bullying you in any way. Because then I just don't want that. I want to have a good time, you know?
Didn't like Bobby Zilch.
No. So, like, that's why I had slightly a hard time with Stardew, because at first, everyone's pretty much mean to you. Mm-hmm. Like, almost all of them are either scared of you or mean to
or
you.
Hesitant.
Or hesitant. And then you have to, like, really prove yourself, which I understand, but, like, it's upsetting.
Mm-hmm.
So at least in Stardew, they warm up and I could figure out, like, oh, okay. And even if they didn't, I wasn't playing the game for the characters. There were other things that I wanted to do. So it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But with Psychonauts, it's a story. You're in a linear path. You have to talk to these people. There are cutscenes. Like, mm-hmm. I just didn't think that I would enjoy it.
Yeah. And to be fair, you've still never seen the first Psychonauts the whole way through.
True. I've only seen you play Psychonauts 2, which I, oh my gosh, game of the year.
Yes. Please. 100%.
I love that game.
So what, while we're going through Psychonauts 2, what, because you weren't even intending to watch me play it. You just kind of were in the room because, mm-hmm. you know, we only have so many rooms in the apartment and I was playing on the couch.
Yeah. And that first world situation that you were in
yeah.
was very gross to me and I hated it.
Dr. Lobato's
yeah.
teeth.
It was gross. One of the things that I saw that made me interested in the game was, I don't think this is a spoiler because... I mean, I saw it on release date, but there were just different screenshots that had been released with the game. Like, mm-hmm. hey, play Psychonauts 2. Look at some screenshots. You'll like it. Go buy it because mm-hmm. it looks like this. And one of them was a world that I won't spoil, but was very colorful. And when I saw that, and then there was an article that was paired with it that was like, this Psychonauts world tried something that no one else has ever done before. And I was like, oh, that sounds really cool. Like, I'm interested in seeing that world. And I told you that. And I said, when you get there, let me know and I'll watch that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just kind of sat in the room. And some of the comments that Raz was making just while you were playing, like him talking to himself or mm-hmm. the way that he, like, after you would solve a puzzle or, like, do something, just Raz's commentary and the voice, like, vocal direction in general
mm-hmm.
was so beautiful and wonderful that I started to like the game just based off of the voice acting.
Yeah, which typically you're not one to gravitate towards voice acting, like, yeah. in particular, like, especially English voice acting.
Mm-hmm.
I think you, like, just because voice acting has gotten better and better over the years,
yeah.
you softened.
And I mean, the vocal director was Chris Brown, and she is amazing, so...
Yes. Not the yeah. R&B singer, Chris Brown.
No.
Different Chris Brown.
Different Chris Brown. And I am a fan of hers now, so yeah, it makes sense why yeah. I started to fall in love with it. But the dialogue, the voice acting... It all just kind of worked.
And that world that sold you, I think we can say, it's the psychedelic one that was literally, they use that in pretty much every single trailer to sell the game.
Oh, okay. I didn't watch any of the trailers. So.
No, yeah. So they use that world because it is so psychedelic and stunning.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't want to say the name of it.
Yeah.
But... just because it's not really a spoiler for what it is, but either way, that world is so stunning. And in my opinion, that's not even my favorite mental world in the game.
No, me neither.
Like, I just did a whole video about Compton's Cook-Off,
mm-hmm.
which is such a fun mental world in that game, where you're essentially just in a cooking show, and... what that means and what implications that has for the character that whose mind that is. It's so interesting looking at each and every one of these mental worlds because it has real world connotations to it. And I honestly just want to make a video just raving about this game, just in general.
You should, because it should win Game of the Year.
It should win Game of the Year. It is honestly, this game, after sitting on it for... like 2 months now, almost 2 months now after completing it. It is probably in my top, I won't go three games of all time, but easily top five.
Mm-hmm.
Easily top five games of all time. And I'm not really, I like platformers, but I'm not like that into platformers. I'm getting more and more into them as I get older. But this game, the way the story is, the twists and turns in the story, the vocal direction, it's so good. And I'm so glad that you ended up enjoying it.
Yeah, and even when the game was gross, and there was an entire part of the game that was very, very gross, when you're... it's very slimy?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's your hint. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Didn't like that. I didn't like that very much. But I understood it. And I understood why it existed. And it aided the story. And if anything, props to them for making me feel things so intensely. Mm-hmm. Because they wanted me to feel something. And they made me feel it. So that's more than some games can do, honestly.
And I like it because it... nothing, literally nothing in that game is just thrown in there because, hey, it looks cool. Or it's just in there just because, like, everything has a reason for being there.
Yeah. Oh, and I also think that one of the first worlds that you go into being Hollis Forsyth, I feel like it's literally in the first, like, hour of the game.
And it's, that's also in the trailers.
Perfect. I fell in love with Hollis Forsyth because she... what a perfect way to open the game.
Yeah.
She was perfect. And then the amount of representation, I don't know. Everything, I could rave about the game now, but before, I didn't think I'd like it.
Yeah. Oh, chef's kiss. Mm-hmm. And I hope it gets the recognition that it deserves so that we can get more Psychonauts games from Double Fine in the future.
Please.
But.
Hit me with one of yours.
Oh, goodness. I would say that a game... you mentioned Stardew Valley earlier.
Yeah.
I thought I would hate that game.
I had to beg you to play it.
And for the same reason that you didn't want to play Psychonauts. I thought it looked bad. Like, I did not like the... I should qualify that. I did not like the appearance of the characters and the sprites.
Oh, okay.
Like, I thought that the terrain was gorgeous. I thought, like, the farming had great pixel art. Everything like that. I just did not like the people.
I mean, that's... you're not the only one with that opinion. There are plenty of mods to change the appearance of the character profiles.
Well, it's not even just the profiles.
Oh, like, overall their designs?
Like the profiles, like, I take them or leave them. Literally, the in-game sprites. Like, the overworld models is what I hated.
Really?
Yes.
I always thought it was their profiles.
No, I could take or leave the profiles. Mm-hmm. That's what, like, that's whatever. It was the overworld models of them that I just detested at the time. And even though I've been playing Harvest Moon for so long, I love Harvest Moon. I have played so many weird iterations of Harvest Moon on, like, the PlayStation 2, the PSP, the 3DS, the DS, you know, the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
So many Harvest Moon games that I was like, I should like that. It looks similar to Harvest Moon, but I just can't do it.
Interesting.
And it wasn't until one summer when, I think it was in the summer, when the multiplayer option came out.
Yep.
Which one of the first videos on the channel was about Stardew Valley's multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when I was like, okay, this is really fun. Because I played it just so that we could have a game that we could play together. And I got obsessed. And that's when I started my own, like, farm. While we would do it, like, we would probably play it, like, every day together.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, I can get past these models because the gameplay is so smooth and it makes sense and intuitive. And there's so much more to do in this game than pretty much any Harvest Moon game up to that point.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there were sprinklers.
Yes. Oh, the sprinklers. The sprinklers. And I know that that's now been implemented in the Story of Seasons games,
mm-hmm.
which are... that's discussion for another day. But that's essentially the modern day Harvest Moon. Just switch titles. And so that in and of itself was enough to be like, swoon. I don't have to water every single individual plant every day.
Yeah.
Oh.
It makes sense.
And the music. The music
I love the music.
Is the essence of every single season. And I cannot love that game enough. But the it's so weird how appearance, like you with Psychonauts, me with Stardew Valley, has such a profound impact on whether or not someone plays a game, even if it's a game that they should love.
I mean, you have to look at it.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be looking at this for so long that you want to make sure it's something that you like looking at.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
It does make sense. I feel like I'm judgmental about games, art styles. Not even, like, saying, like, this is actively good or objectively good or bad. But that deters me from so many games. Like, I think I would probably like the Mass Effect series. Like, completely other end of the spectrum. But I hate those hyper-realistic, like, people.
Yeah.
Which is why I tend to gravitate towards, like, JRPGs instead. But I wonder how many games are out there that I should enjoy, but I just don't. Because I'm like, this looks like Call of Duty. Or this looks too realistic. Or, like, I'm judgmental about pixel art or something like that, where it doesn't strike my very particular taste in appearance.
Yeah.
And then I don't try it and I miss out on a tremendous experience.
Gotta stop being judgy.
It's hard.
I know.
We are a judgmental people, human beings.
Yeah. You're not wrong. I guess. To get off of the subject of art style, because, I mean, how many games could you list where it's like, well, I just looked at it and it didn't look good, so then I didn't do it.
Yeah.
But to get on to something that's more gameplay, for me, one of them was Animal Crossing. I did not think that I would like Animal Crossing at all.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's why I never played it.
I thought that you just, like, didn't pull the trigger, like you always knew you wanted to try it, but you just like never like took that step to actually buy it for yourself.
No.
Why?
So I played Harvest Moon games growing up. I mean, like literally was gifted an N64 when I was 4 years old, got Harvest Moon 64, and then from there it's just been history. Like I've played almost every single title. I've been obsessed. And except for when the name change happened in Story Seasons.
Whatever. Well-trodden ground.
Anywho, so I was already obsessed with that system. I like to be very intense with it and very intentional with all of my actions. I like to try and get a house upgrade as soon as possible, get married as soon as possible, do all of the things because it's like a race for me. It's very fun and I really enjoy it. And usually I love the art styles, I love the music, I love it's just my comfort game because it's very predictable. The thing I didn't like about Animal Crossing was all of the waiting that I would have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, since I've played so many farming sims, most of them being Harvest Moon, I already knew my progression and I could go very quickly because it was usually the same kind of situation every single time. And with Animal Crossing, it was like, okay, so I'm on day one. I just started this. So I did everything that I could do. You want me to just fish for the rest of the and catch some bugs? That's it. And I could not handle that I had to move slowly.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like it. And I knew that I wouldn't like it. And I didn't like that if I wanted to have the style, because I started with New Leaf.
Yeah.
If I wanted to have the style that everyone else was having on Reddit or they like post their screenshots on Twitter or whatever, if I wanted to be in the same place as them, because I got New Leaf towards the end of its life cycle, I would have to play for so many days, not hours. I would have to play for so many days in a row that I would have to track down all of this furniture. I would have to go catch beetles at midnight for so many days in a row. Like, it just was obnoxious to me how much effort had to be put in to this game. Because I don't know. I'm a very rare gamer. I don't like to just play a game every single day. Mm-hmm. If I pick up a game, it's kind of like I'm going to play it for a week and then put it down.
Mm-hmm.
And Animal Crossing requires you. You can't even get through a quarter of Animal Crossing in a week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even in the new one, you have to play for like 28 consecutive days to even unlock half of the stuff to even enjoy Animal Crossing.
Is it really that long?
It's a pretty long time.
I literally
to like
don't
upgrade
remember.
Nooks and upgrade all of the things so that you can even just enjoy it.
I don't even remember because that was during quarantine that we got it.
Yeah.
That I so actively was just in a haze throughout, if it was 20 days, those whole 28 days.
Maybe it was 20. I don't know. But it was a long time.
Either way, a couple weeks.
Yeah, it was a couple weeks.
Which is insane to me. Absolutely insane. Because I don't remember that at all. I believe you. 100%.
I'm doubting myself.
No. But I played that game every day for like 3 months.
Yeah.
And so, like, it very well could have been, but it also feels like a very short window of time because it still feels like we're in March of 2020 right now.
True.
Like,
oh, gosh.
With the big Pandora's box continuing forward so often.
Panorama.
Good old panorama.
Jeez. But yeah, I just don't like waiting. And that's why I never really enjoyed mobile games, because they make you wait. Typically, where it's like, come back in. Like, there was one farming sim situation that was similar to Farmville, but it was on your phone. Crap. My mom still plays it.
I forget what it's called.
But there's this one farming game that my mom plays right now. It's like Farm Story or something. I don't remember.
I think that's it.
And
actually, I said I have no idea, but I think that's it.
I don't remember.
That rings a bell.
But something along those lines. And it's
it
like,
could totally, it could
okay,
be like Farmers Are Us or something. I don't know.
Farmers Are Us. But it's like, okay, you milked your cow, come back in 6 real life hours and milk your cow again. And it's like, no, I don't want to wait that long. I don't want to wait. I want to just do it. Let me progress. Why is time against me?
Well, it's not if you have money.
I know. With the
Do you remember Clash of Clans?
I never played that.
Oh my gosh.
But I heard.
Yeah. I wonder if that's still like a thing that people actively play. If you play Clash of Clans, this is the tangent. If you play Clash of Clans, I need to know. Does it still get updated? Like, is that still a popular app today? Or is that essentially like been thrown to the wayside because, you know, there are a lot more high quality apps out there. Unless you love it, in which case it's a great app.
It's fantastic.
I love it. I love just putting units down and not being able to control them.
Oh my god.
I love it.
Jeez.
But I don't know, I feel like mobile games have gotten a lot more sophisticated over the course of just like however many years. Like, if you look at what was the pinnacle before, it was like Clash of Clans, Angry Birds, microtransactions
Temple Run.
Oh, I love Temple Run. Subway Surfers.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. But now you look at how good some of the mobile games are. You can play the first 3 Sonic games on your phone. You
literally
can play
Genshin Impact.
Oh, yeah. Genshin Impact. Such a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Such a well-made game. Fortnite. Like, I don't see the appeal of some of these, like, Clash of Clans anymore when you have such sophisticated games on your phone now. The Nier Reincarnation game?
Mm-hmm.
So, I wouldn't call it the most fun thing in the world, but I enjoy it enough.
There you go.
Pikmin Bloom. Perfection on the phone. But are there any other games that you're just like, ugh? Or anime? I don't think we've talked about any anime that you've been like, eh, on.
So, funnily enough, one of them is Demon Slayer. Well, I did not think that I would like Demon Slayer.
Really?
Yeah.
You're the one that introduced it to me.
I know. I made you watch it with me because I was scared to watch it.
Yeah.
See, okay. Our friend Nicole is very sneaky because what she does is she waits to introduce an anime to me until a movie is about to be released because she wants me to go to the movie with her. So what she does is she waits for a movie and then she goes, Allie, there's going to be a My Hero Academia or a Demon Slayer or whatever.
Right movie. Now it's Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yeah, she's still begging me. I feel real bad. But she'll introduce me to an anime because she wants me to go to that movie. So she introduced me to Demon Slayer right when Mugen Train was announced.
Yeah.
And she said, listen, it's really not that scary. You watched Inuyasha. It's essentially a love story to Inuyasha. It's like the same idea. You could totally do it. I promise it's so beautiful. You need to watch it and then go to the movie with me. Do we even go to the movie with? Yeah, we did.
We did right before our wedding.
We did right before our wedding. I went to go see it twice, so
oh, yeah.
I got a little confused. But yes, I went one time with my coworkers and one time with you guys. But anyways, yes, I didn't think I would like it because it scared me. And also the designs of the characters, that art style, I just didn't think I would like it.
It's so good and though.
Since I heard that there was CG in it, I didn't see how that could be done well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here we are. It's
eating the words.
Eating my words.
But it's A, I feel like Nicole always has really good suggestions.
Nicole just knows what's good always.
Yeah. So it pays off.
Yes.
It pays off. But I didn't know anything about it when you introduced it to me. And then you said, look at this. Actually, that's a lie. That's a bold-faced lie. I knew about it in that someone from my cohort in grad school, their boyfriend, like, we were hanging out or whatever, and their boyfriend, like, showed me a clip of it. It's the clip. Like, the fight scene. Yeah. Is the fight scene. Like, look at how amazingly animated this is. I was like, that's cool. And then I just completely wiped it from my brain. I did not think about it.
Jeez Louise.
Looking back, I'm sorry that I did not immediately go watch the show after being shown that.
Mm-hmm.
It paid off in every way. We're going to talk more about that. Actually, you want to just go to what we're playing, what we're watching right now?
Yeah, let's do it.
So the first episode of season 2 of Demon Slayer, I know that technically it's episode 8 of season 2.
Yes.
Strictly speaking, and yes, I realize that there is additional content, a bit of it, in those first 7 episodes. You know, I know that there's something with Inosuke's mom. I know there's stuff.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to go back and watch that.
No, yeah, there's stuff sprinkled through.
Mm-hmm.
In my heart, this is the first episode.
Yeah, it's the first episode of the Entertainment District arc.
Yes,
so
yes.
We can at least
of
say
the
that.
New arc. It's the first episode of the new arc that we have not seen anything of yet.
Yes.
And oh boy, what a great 46-minute episode it was.
It was so good. It was beautiful. I cried a lot. Oh my gosh. Just the level of detail. These artists are insane. We don't deserve this. We're not worthy, guys.
Yeah. If you haven't watched it yet, go watch it immediately. Because we are going to talk about spoilers here in just a little bit. Just because I can't help myself.
Yes.
But while we're not talking about spoilers, I love that it picked up straight where Mugen Train left off. Like, mm-hmm. Literally, the end of the movie is the first scene.
Yes.
Of this episode. And the way that they are able to just kick off and show the fallout of the events of the Mugen Train arc and give us that context of the ripple effects that this had on the world.
Mm-hmm.
A, it hit me in an emotional place that I honestly wasn't expecting, which I don't know why I wasn't expecting it. It's Demon Slayer. It always makes me emotional.
Yeah.
But in these, and I don't think that this episode would have been that good if they hadn't made it 46 minutes. I think it was essential that they made it 46 minutes.
Agreed.
To kick this off.
Agreed.
Because otherwise, the first half of it would be very slow, a lot of talking, a lot of plotting, and it's super essential. But when you get the latter half of the episode, that's when you really are seeing, okay, this happened. This is how everyone's moving on.
Mm-hmm.
The world still is turning, and it starts sowing the seeds for what's actually happening in this new arc. And I'm hooked. I have not thought all that much about Demon Slayer since we saw the movie. Like, you know, we've talked about it on the podcast here and there. We're like, oh, it's such a good show. But in reality, I've not given it a lot of thought.
Same here. And I feel like partially that's because I am spoiled on the ending. I 100% know how all of Demon Slayer ends. I read the manga. I read like the last, I don't know, 10 chapters or something. So I'm spoiled on that. But I know none of the middle, save for like some details that I read on Wikipedia just about like characters when I would look them up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what happens in this arc. I don't know any fights. I don't know like anything. I know nothing. So I'm going into this blind. I know how the whole series ends though. So like some things won't throw me off. I'll be able to figure it out.
Like, anyways, put the pieces together.
Yeah. So, but besides that, I don't know. I just was not anticipating that this episode would do something to me that made me be a huge Demon Slayer fan again. Because I did enjoy the movie, and I thought it was very well done. And I don't know. Like, I liked it. But it wasn't peak Demon Slayer for me. It wasn't like, okay, I need more right away.
Yeah.
I was like, that was satisfying. I can move on now. Mm. I can go watch something else. But after this episode, it is taking everything in me not to just read what happens in this arc. I'm not going to do it because we live together and I can't escape you now. And I would most definitely accidentally spoil it for you.
Yeah.
So it's hard enough to not spoil the ending. Because I want to real bad, but I'm not gonna. But yeah, I'm hooked.
Yeah, let's go into spoilers on it though, because I need to talk about it. So if you don't want spoilers for this new episode or Demon Slayer in general, go to the timestamps, skip somewhere else. Just don't listen to this part. I have been so excited for the Sound Hashira.
Oh, yeah.
What a jerk.
I was not expecting him to be that much of a skeevy guy.
Yeah, what a jerk. And maybe he'll be redeemed, but I'm just saying, first impressions, not great.
Yeah.
Not. I love the design though.
He does have a very cool design.
It's so cool. The blades, so like, they look fun, but like just there's one moment.
Oh, I know.
There's one moment, if you've watched the episode, which if you're listening to this, you better have, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, where I'm just like, that was so unnecessary.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I hated that.
That's real gross.
I hated that whole interaction. But like, I wonder if it's one of those things where dude has a tragic past and he is set up to be unlikable.
Yeah.
And by the end of the arc, we will very much like him, even though he did something skeevy.
That's what I'm feeling, because after Rengoku, who was just a good guy through and through from beginning to end, I mean, he was funny, and then you related to him, and then you understood him, and then you rooted for him, and then you cried for him.
He was such a pure soul.
He was so good. He was, oh my gosh, I love Rengoku. And now with this Sound Hashira, it's like, okay, I don't really like you right now, but I feel like I'm going to end up liking you.
Yeah, I think I'm going to end up thoroughly enjoying him. And I like in this show that they make the Hashira very flawed individuals.
Yes.
Like Rengoku, I feel like was the shining outlier of them. Mm-hmm. Like, who's just really good, really just an incredible person.
He's so good.
But if you look at the rest of the Hashira, very motley crew.
They're all over the place.
Everywhere. Everywhere and nowhere at the same time.
Yeah.
They don't look like a unit in any sense of the word. It's a lot of individuals who have their own individual strengths who aren't, and I guess they're not really meant to be a team. It's not like Naruto where, like, you have a unit that you always go with. Mm-hmm. Like, it is pretty much a bunch of individuals. Mm-hmm. It's almost more rare that Tanjiro, Inosuke, and Zenitsu kind of travel together constantly.
Honestly, from what I know, yeah.
Yeah.
That feels rare to me.
Yeah, because we haven't really seen other people who
I mean, the butterfly, the butterfly girls.
Yeah.
And some of them go on to join the Demon Slayer Corps, but some of them don't.
Yeah. That's kind of like found family, though.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I really like that aspect. And I liked that we got to see Tanjiro interact with Rengoku's family.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love Tanjiro headbutting and just being so defensive of Rengoku, because that's something that he would totally do. And it's funny also to see him challenge authority when it's against something that he believes in strongly or someone he believes in strongly. Mm-hmm. Like, normally, Tanjiro would be very respectful mm-hmm. of someone's father. We would never do that. That's so disrespectful. Why would he do that?
Especially not against a former flame Hashira.
Exactly. And so the idea that Rengoku's dad, whose name I can't recall, he could insult Tanjiro all day. But the second that he starts to insult Rengoku and Rengoku's brother, mm-hmm. oh my gosh. It's over. You're getting headbutted. Bye.
Yeah. But I like that they didn't make Rengoku's dad irredeemably, like, terrible.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You start to see what's going on behind the scenes.
I mean, like, when you're introduced to him, you know why he's acting like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, never once did I think, wow, this dude's the worst.
He's just evil.
Like, he's just evil. He's just, well, he is not a great dad. Mm-hmm. But when he walks out of that building, and, like, everything that we know from Mugen Train and how he interacted with his son, but in this episode specifically, he walked out, he was drinking the sake. Like, you know that this is a man who is completely down on his luck, who is just sinking faster than he can handle. And with the death, which we know for a fact, this has negatively impacted him, the death of his son, even though he will deny it to his last breath. Mm-hmm. Like, that's probably making the drinking worse. That's increasing his aggression about anyone. And it's almost like that hyper-masculinity mm-hmm. and leaning into that. And I loved that when he did receive Rengoku's message, that's when he started crying, because he couldn't, like, drink it down anymore. Like, even though he went to take a swig, he didn't actually, because all he heard was take care of yourself, when yeah. he was expecting to have the last words be unloading on him. And I feel like he almost would have preferred that.
I feel like he would have preferred that, because in order to be able to stomach the news, I feel like he needed to create this version of Rengoku in his head that hated him.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way that he would be able to move on in his mind.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he hated me. He wouldn't have even cared. Like, it's fine. And to have to bury everything under that anger. Mm-hmm. But when you actually have to work on those emotions because your son did actually care about you.
Yeah.
And you have to fight those demons that, like, I was not that great to him.
Yeah.
Like, now he has to deal with that.
And he has to deal with the death. Instead mm-hmm. of saying, that's my estranged, worthless, pathetic, weak son.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Because even the bad individuals you feel for them. Like, even the demons, you feel for them.
Yes.
I love everything about this show. I'm so excited to see where it goes in terms of the humanity of the demons.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like they're soulless individuals. You see a lot of them have souls. And, oh, I'm ready for this arc.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be good.
I feel it.
We're going to be talking a lot more about it. I feel it in my bones. But where are we playing?
We're playing Xenoblade 2.
Ooh. This is also a game that I did not think I would like.
I mean, honestly, same. Because when I looked at it after being obsessed with Xenoblade Chronicles, like the first one, I looked at this next game and I went, I don't really know about that.
Yeah. But
I listen to anything that Chugga Conroy tells me. If Chugga Conroy tells me that I will like something, or if Chugga Conroy just plays it, then I trust him. I've trusted him throughout my entire childhood. Why would I stop now? So once he started playing it, I started watching him play it. I only got to episode like 30 in his playthrough before we were getting married and things were heating up. Yeah. And I just didn't have time to keep up with this playthrough. And I said, that's it. I'll just wait until we can play it.
Yes.
We'll probably end up playing it. And now here we are.
Yeah. I was able to borrow it from my brother. So shout out. Because thank you. Because we're very much, I like to have the physical copy of a game to play it. I don't know why, but even if it's not mine, I like to play using the physical copy, which my brother has, and they don't really sell it anymore, which is annoying.
Yeah.
And so we started playing the day after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been so much fun. And I avoided it specifically because, I'll be honest, I've seen a lot about some of the characters in this game on Twitter.
Yeah, you have.
And why people like these characters, like Pyra and Mithra on Twitter. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, is that what this game is? Like, I'm not interested in that at all.
Yeah.
Like, I could care less. But over time, that has lessened significantly, those kinds of tweets. I've kind of filtered out my Twitter feed, so I'm not seeing it as much. And now I just see people saying, no, this is genuinely a tremendous plot. A tremendous, like, all of the characters are very well written. The combat people are kind of torn on. I thoroughly enjoy it, though. But some people are like, not good. Maybe because the tutorials at the beginning aren't the best, which, fair.
Fair.
But I'm liking the gameplay a lot more than the original Xenoblade's combat. And yeah, we're about 25 hours into the game at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommend it. If you're like me and you're kind of off-put by some of the character designs, honestly, it's not really addressed and it really does fade into the background for you. It
really does.
Like, it is not obnoxious about some of the more risque character designs.
Not to say that there aren't scenes where they're mentioned.
Yeah.
Because there are. But you just cringe through that 2-minute cutscene and then it's done.
It's typically not even that long. It's typically like a couple moments here and there.
Yeah.
And it's like, it is not a focal point of the game. And it is quickly sides. It's like with any anime, honestly. If I could compare it to anything, like moments of like weird innuendo or fan service. And it's like, okay, like moving past that, like to the bulk in the meat of the game. Mm-hmm. And it's so, so good.
Yeah. I originally didn't want to get invested in Xenoblade Chronicles 2 because I love the first one so much. And I was so attached to Shulk and Fiora that I couldn't see how they could do anything better. So I imagined, okay, this is a sequel. So, I mean, sequels are typically bad, so therefore this one's bad. And I just wrote it off because I couldn't handle the thought of following new characters and a new world and doing all of that, it just didn't make sense to me how this world could exist without Shulk and Fiora. I didn't like it. And now here we are.
Welcome, young JRPG Padawan.
Yeah, well.
JRPG sequels often are good, especially if they're not directly, like, intrinsically connected to the first.
I'm not typically into JRPGs.
That's fair.
Which is funny because I started my JRPG journey as a very young child with Chrono Cross, and people hate it because it has nothing to do with Chrono Trigger, but is considered a sequel. Yeah. And so I would think that I would know.
Look at the Final Fantasy games.
I know, but like you'd think
Persona.
You'd think I'd know by now, but yeah. I just didn't.
You have a very strong attachment to the original Xenoblade, though.
Yeah, I do.
And Xenoblade Chronicles X, like, neither of us have a Wii U. We never really had the opportunity to play that.
No.
I don't really have an interest in it. Well...
Here we are.
Well, that means we'll probably love it.
Honestly.
If we ever do play it. But, yeah.
I love this game.
The character interactions are some of the most genuine I've seen. Like, I feel as though a lot of times in JRPGs, you form a party and then you focus on the main character and, like, one other character. And sometimes other characters have moments here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But they really just get shoved to the background for the majority of the game.
Yeah.
We're talking about Xenoblade Chronicles, Ryan and Sharla.
Yeah.
Really don't have... Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look at Ricky. Literally look at Ricky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had to process.
You didn't even think... Like, at least Sharla gets moments later on in the game, but like... Yeah. Ricky, what happened?
What about the Hierapon?
What about the Hierapon?
But that said, I love that game with all of my soul.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we've gone through it and beaten it. But I think that this one's going to hold its talons more in my heart.
Yeah, I agree. Because you feel like a unit. You feel like a friend group.
Yeah.
And Rex is such a good boy. He's so good.
Yeah, this is the kind of group that the only other game that I can think of that has such a good party and cast of characters that feels like a friend group like this
mm-hmm.
is Persona 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't even say Persona 5 because they just feel like a team. But Persona 5 Strikers, you know, the Dynasty Warriors-esque Persona title
mm-hmm.
that's on the Switch and PS4 that came out as a direct sequel to Persona 5 Vanilla. Not Persona 5 Royal, Persona 5 Vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
That one, that feels like such a unified party as well. So I would say that Xenoblade Chronicles feels as organic of a group as Persona 5 Strikers or Persona 4 or games like that.
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy VII is also really good cast of characters.
Yeah.
So good.
I'm itching to go play more.
We are going to talk about this game a lot once we beat it. I can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, I beat Brilliant Diamond this week.
Yay!
I failed my Nuzlocke, if any of you were wondering.
But at the very end.
I got to Cynthia, and I didn't have anything that could handle her Spiritomb. I had 3 Pokemon left. Spiritomb one-shot all of them. And that was that. R.I.P. But
R.I.P.
And that's pretty much all we're playing, all we're watching. I'm still watching Naruto. I'm up to...
What episode are you on?
Look, I won't say what episode I'm on, but I'll say what arc I'm on. Right now, Sasuke is en route to the Sound Village. And there...
That doesn't tell me anything. What episode is that?
It's 111.
What? Are you kidding me? John!
You don't have to react like that.
How did you even get there? When did you have the time?
I work virtually 2 days a week. I haven't had as many meetings, right? And so it's been a lot of grading assignments. And I grade assignments a lot faster, genuinely, when I have something on in the background. And so...
Oh my gosh, you're crazy.
Just play Naruto for hours.
You know what? I take it back. You could watch One Piece. You could do it.
No, I don't think so, because I don't... I say I'm this far, but that's with me half paying attention, because I've already seen it all.
Okay, true.
You know, like, I can just... It's white noise, and then I'm like, oh, I like this moment. You know, I love watching Rock Lee just beat the crap out of Gaara. You know?
I also like that moment.
Yeah, see? And so I can have it on while I'm doing completely unrelated things because I'm not actually paying that much attention to it because I know what happens. Whereas for One Piece, because I know nothing about what happens, I would have to really engage myself with it because I'd want to understand what's going on and who these characters are. And so I wouldn't be able to watch something like One Piece while I'm grading because I wouldn't be productive at work. And something that's super important to me is productivity while I'm at work.
But yeah.
If I'm not being as productive as I can be, I can't be doing what else I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, that's why I'm able to watch Naruto and literally nothing else. Because I've read the manga several times. I've watched the show all throughout growing up. I know all about Shippuden.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, my rate, the second I hit the end of the original series, my rate of watching these episodes is going to decline tremendously. Because I can't do it at work anymore.
True.
Because I, Shippuden, I know, but I don't know, like, that well.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched all of it, but only once. And all so it would be more reminders as opposed to, like, ah, yes, this is well the trodden ground. Don't look at me like that.
Oh, jeez. You're crazy.
Don't look at me like that.
You're wild.
Don't. Ah, look. It's fine. I don't have a problem. You have a problem.
Yeah, I'm the one with the problem.
You have a problem.
I have so many problems.
I'm a shinobi of the hidden leaf.
Jeez. All right.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I have a couple questions for you, but we can take that offline.
Keep me in your thoughts. Hopefully there will be another ThoughtCast next week.
And prayers.
Yeah. Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. Okay, well then, that'll do it for this week's episode of ThoughtCast. If you like ThoughtCast, if you enjoy listening to us talk all about video games and anime, then make sure to follow us on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Make sure to give us 5 stars, like the video, subscribe, do whatever you need to do to get us in the good graces of the algorithm gods, who you should be sending prayers to so that I am alive for next week.
The RNG gods can't save you from me.
The RNG gods?
No, or the algorithm gods.
None of them. What about, like, fictitious gods from, like, video games?
I'm a JRPG baby. I'll fight them all. I'll fight the gods.
And you kill them all. Okay, well, with this being the last episode of the podcast. No, it is not the last one. But we hope you have a fantastic rest of your day, a fantastic rest of your week, and why not even a fantastic rest of your month? And we will see you on Wednesday. Later.
See ya.